From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this magnificent program we call Coast to Coast AM. Later tonight, we're going vampire hunting with Father Sebastian. But here's what's happening. Well, apparently, U.S. intelligence agents have been hacking computer networks around the world for years, apparently targeting data pipes and pushing immense amounts of data around the Internet. This, according to the NSA leaker Edward Snowden. He said this to the South China Morning Post. Among some 61,000 reported targets of the NSA, Snowden said that thousands of computers are in China, which, of course, U.S. officials have increasingly criticized as the source of thousands of attacks on U.S. military and commercial networks. China has denied such attacks as well. And roughly one in three Americans say that the former security contractor who leaked these details of the top secret U.S. surveillance activity is a patriot. I would have thought it would have been higher and should not be prosecuted. That according to a Reuters poll. And also a widespread surveillance program exposed to the public last week has apparently helped the National Security Agency stop dozens of terrorist threats, according to the NSA chief telling Congress. He said dozens of these events have been stopped. Let's check in with Jerome Corsi, researcher and author on this. Jerry, I've got some mixed feelings today because I don't think Snowden should be talking to the Chinese press about some of the activities that we do, as long as it doesn't include, of course, spying on Americans. I think he's going a little too far now. What do you think?
Well, I think to begin with, George, Snowden has done a service to America by showing the extent to which the National Security Agency has operated outside of all the definitions of the First Amendment. I think the risk to personal freedom when any communication by internet or telephone can be examined by the National Security Administration is very severe. And we set in place the mechanics of a police state by allowing this to happen. Now, I'm not going to defend every single thing that Snowden has done, but I think
the
basic instinct of making this information public is a service to the United States and freedom.
Well, you know, I've said publicly that I think he's a hero for what he did to protect our constitutional rights, but I don't think he should be talking about what we do as a nation to, you know, check in on China, because they've been checking in on us. I mean, those things happen.
Well, you know, there's going to be instances where I think he can be faulted. There's no question, George, that the temptation to say too much or to compromise the national security issues in his disclosures is a risk. But at the same time, if you weigh and balance the, you know, should he have done it or should he have not done it, we can criticize how Snowden did it and the extent of various things he's saying. But still, I think it's shocking that the National Security Administration is conducting this kind of a dragnet search of all communications that all Americans are making. And it should be frightening to anyone who, you know, either today or in the future has an opinion or wants to express an opinion that may not be politically correct.
Well, that is true. Jerry also writes for WorldNet Daily. Jerry, thank you so much. Robert Young Pelton will be joining us for a couple hours in just a moment as we talk more about this case. A storm system brewing over the Midwest, threatening tens of millions of people. Heavy rain, hail, perhaps even rare explosive wind patterns that forecasters compared to the landfall of a hurricane. Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, all in the threat zone. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Washington, also at risk of severe storms. The system, the product of hot air steaming up from the south and atmospheric churning over Minnesota, was certain to bring some really ugly weather this time. A 15-minute walk after each meal could prevent older people developing type 2 diabetes, according to a study. The post-meal walks control blood sugar, as well as one long walk, according to the researchers. Elevated blood sugar after meals could increase the risk of type 2 diabetes. So resting after eating, they say, is the worst thing you can do. So get moving, if you would. Well, a man sets his home on fire while trying to kill bed bugs. Accidental. A homeowner, four firefighters recovering after investigators say he accidentally set his own house on fire trying to kill bed bugs. The police say that the man used a space heater, hair dryer, heat gun to kill bed bugs inside his home in New Jersey. The heat guns are often used to strip paint off woodwork. they can reach temperatures of up to 1,000 degrees. In a moment, Robert Young Pelton joins us. We're going to talk about the NSA. We're going to talk about the whistleblower on Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back to Coast. As I mentioned, roughly one in three Americans say that the former security contractor Edward Snowden, who leaked the details of top-secret U.S. surveillance activity, is a patriot, should not be prosecuted. We're going to check in with our expert on terrorism, Robert Young Pelton, of course, author, journalist, filmmaker. His book, License to Kill, Hired Guns in the War on Terror, and a number of others. He's been on the program numerous times. We're going to get his reaction to this couple hours with Robert Young Pelton. Robert, I would have thought that survey would have shown higher percents of Americans saying he should not be prosecuted. What do you think of that?
Well, I think we've got a long way to go for people to actually figure out who he is, what he's saying, and why he did what he did. He's not telling us anything that anyone who's read any books by people like James Bamford, who's an expert on the NSA, or even some investigative journalists have revealed over the last, let's say, 10 years since the Patriot Act was put into effect.
Well, no, that's true. Look, I applaud him for coming forward to talking about what they're doing to our cell phones and the Internet and everything else. I do think he's going a little too far if he's releasing secret information about, you know, how we are, national security, and other countries like China. What do you think of that?
I don't think he's released anything that's classified. Anything that he's mentioned, you can Google and find an article about it in open source. And keep in mind, you know, we talked about this last time, this is really just a reaction to Big Brother. This is somebody who works inside the machine, and he's saying, stop. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. We're monitoring innocent people under the guise of finding guilty people. And what he's done is he's triggered an international debate on just what powers the government has and just how deeply they get into our shorts and the shorts of innocent people under the guise of finding guilty people.
Is this just the tip of the iceberg, Robert?
Yeah, this is a complete reversal of why the NSA was created and what our government is supposed to do. The NSA was created after World War II to decode and monitor a lot of Soviet communications and a lot of, you know, very important clandestine communications around the world by Soviets. And it was absolutely a spy force who had to be on top of what the Russians were sending out all around the world so that we could be prepared. And this is in the area of, you know, Cold War, nuclear missiles, et cetera, et cetera. So absolutely, and they have a lot of equipment and machinery around the world on ships, aircraft, satellites, that literally zoom in on, at that time, you know, our enemies, bugging their embassies, tracking their, you know, vehicles, their movements, back then it was telephone calls. And then it's kind of, the NSA kind of mushroomed after the Patriot Act to basically be a big net, in other words, big data, take in every single thing that is communicated if and when they want so that they may at some point want to go back and look for something. So it's basically like arresting everybody in New York City in case one of them commits a crime and they want to go find them.
Well, that's a good point. Now, the NSA chief telling Congress, so we've stopped some major terrorist activities because of all of this. I kind of expected them to come forward and say something like that.
That's not true, though.
No, it's not true, and they've gone too far, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, this electronic surveillance and telephone records and geolocation is just one part of when in to solving problems. The major reason a crime is solved is tips. People call up and say, hey, there's a guy doing this or doing that. It's old-fashioned police work, and it's also, you know, hands-on surveillance, gumshoe work, physically watching where a guy is going. Sure, I mean, I can have everybody's phone number, and then after the crime, I can say, oh, he called this guy, go check him out. But that doesn't prevent terrorist acts. That only helps you in the prosecution.
Robert, compare the NSA to the CIA. What's the difference between the two agencies?
Well, as I mentioned, both these agencies appeared after World War II. The CIA was the OSS with the Jedbergs, and the CIA was a very hands-on, guerrilla-enabling organization and spying. So they dropped people behind enemy lines, and they watched railroads, and they basically sent information forward to the troops. After World War II, we realized the value of having an intelligence gathering agency on our enemies. The NSA was more of a geek thing, where it was people were talking in codes. You remember the old Enigma machines from World War II that the Germans had?
Yeah.
They had an entire operation in the UK at Bletchley Park trying to figure out how to crack this machine using very brilliant mathematicians and scientists. So the NSA was really sort of the geek version of decrypting communications, and then also the technical ability to figure out how to bug people, how to communicate by radio, how to intercept signals and things like that.
Now,
they work hand in hand. I mean, if you go out to the border in the hunt for bin Laden, there are what they call OGA, other governmental agencies. NSA does work hand in hand with the CIA and the FBI and other people.
So what are they going to do to Snowden? You think they're going to go after him? They're going to try to arrest him? What's up?
Well, when he got his clearance, he signed a document saying that he would not talk to the media. He would not reveal secrets. He's not a dumb guy. He knows that what he's telling people is not actually classified. He's talking about something that people know about. If you go on your user service agreement with Verizon or Google or Facebook, it says very clearly that if the government subpoenas your information, they'll hand it over. So if we did our homework, we would know that everything we post on a commercial site is available to the government. What he's doing is probably based on some kind of personal transition he's going through, because he doesn't have to actually stand up and do this. He could have simply sent that PowerPoint, posted on the Internet and pointed to it. But clearly he wants some personal involvement, so he wants to be crucified, and I'm sure that he'll be in the news for a lot longer, just like Julian Assange, who's hiding in an embassy, you know.
Is Verizon, for example, and I'm sure the other phone companies, but is Verizon culpable for this? Can they be sued by individuals?
Well, okay, no, because when you go on any commercial site, any like whether it's Gmail or whether it's Verizon, if you read the fine print, it says that the data that they have can be turned over under a federal subpoena. Most people don't read the Patriot Act. They don't realize.
Right. Oh, nobody reads. But don't they have to have just cause, Robert? I mean, for example.
No, you've got to go back to the Patriot Act, because what they call a subpoena is actually an ongoing request for all data.
All
the
data.
The only tricky part is that they have to set up a pipe or some way to backdoor this information so that it can be stored by the NSA computers. Now, you and I are having a conversation by phone. I know that this conversation is available through some digital recording somewhere.
I agree.
But what they're saying is, we only carry the metadata. In other words, they have my phone number, your phone number, the location of you, the location of me, and the time that we talked, which is true. That's all they have. But they can dig much deeper and get anything they want.
It's sort of like going target shooting. You fire your rifle. Whatever you hit, you call the target. I mean, because they don't know that they want to listen in on Robert Young Pelton or my conversation,
right?
But they're going to grab everything anyway, aren't they?
Well, here's the thing. Your previous guest talked about the First Amendment. He's actually forgot the Fourth Amendment, the illegal search and seizure. What they are doing is taking private property and seizing it and storing it just in case you commit a crime. And, Tom Cruise made a movie about this a while back where they went back in time and arrested people before they did something.
Yeah.
It's very similar to that. It's like going to a bar and not letting anybody drive a car in case one of them might be drunk.
You know? Robert, in your opinion, what is fueling this? I mean, why are they doing this? What's going on?
We're pissed off. I mean, we read about that. We read about the IRS targeting political action groups, and we thought that wasn't fair. Like, how would they do this? How could they methodically target certain people? You know, we all see special interest groups doing things. We know that the government does not move in a very solid, forward-moving manner. We know that if you apply pressure, you can do things. We know that most of the terrorist activities that occur around the world are not prevented by anything. They happen. And then people say, I guess we should have done this. But we don't see our government getting better at what they're doing. We see them getting dumber. So if the NSA was to come out and say, yes, we keep everything, we know everything, but we still can't prevent terrorism, then I would say, well, go home. What's the use of having this giant facility in Utah and all these satellites if the best you can do is maybe go back and find that some guy talked to some guy on this date in the court case? So I think that's what angers people, is that you've got a government that's so big and so unresponsive to what really needs to be taken care of that we just want them to say, okay, tell us what you're doing, and if you're doing it with any level of competence.
Do you believe that if all hate groups, we stopped terrorism, it was just done, stopped it all, that those special interest groups, major corporations, whatever, governments, would get involved in terrorism just to disrupt things?
No, it's the other way around. Terrorism comes from large corporations and government. Go for an IRS audit someday and tell me about terrorism. You know, they have extraordinary powers, you know, to seize your property and cause you all kinds of damage. And you don't even have to be guilty. And what I'm seeing here is the reverse of that, not the lone wolf that blows somebody up and kills three or four people. I'm talking about a corporation that says, hey, you know, we're worried about activists trying to stop us from catch whales or, you know, from growing GMOs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to use this big data. And keep in mind, this data comes from private corporations, not from the government. And we're going to then target those people, usually through denial of services or, you know, extra surveillance. So what I see is a very 1984, very Orwellian type thing where we try to push people in line by making it more difficult for the people we don't like to get permits or to get raises or to get access to things.
So what happens next? I mean, does the NSA back down? Do they come out and announce we're not going to do this anymore? I don't think so. What do you think?
Well, I think people now are learning that when I go on Facebook and I post my four-year-old's picture, or if I post something of somewhat of a sensitive nature and I click on privacy, they have to also include, you know, viewed only by you and the NSA, ? So we have to come to terms with the fact that because of technology and because of the way communications works, there is no privacy. So if you and I want to talk about something, I've got to go sit down in a quiet backyard and chat with you, but I can't email you, I can't phone you, I can't even mail you a letter probably. But the point is that we are under surveillance, and that's not fair because most people remember slavery and they remembered indentured servitude and feudalism and all the things from Europe that everybody left to come to America to avoid. And we're now being subjected to surveillance because we're considered guilty before we're proven innocent.
Well, Ed, let me ask you this, Robert, on a practical sense. I mean, there are millions and millions of people. We're dealing with hundreds of millions of data that's being stored all over the place. I mean, there's no conceivable way that they're listening in on everything at any given time. How do they keep track of this stuff?
Well, the way it works is very simple. I mean, when you look at the software programs you're hearing about, like Palantir, and then let's take it forward to how you actually kill people, you find and kill people. What you're going to do is you're going to tap into a communications network, and then some guy's going to say, oh, I think this guy's up to no good. You're going to find his phone number. You're going to enter it into Palantir, and then he's going to pop up every person he's called for how much time, at what period of time, and then it's going to create a network. And then you're going to single out those people for actual surveillance, physical listening in on their conversations and physical surveillance of their movements. You're going to pull their bank records. You're going to find out what they bought, where they eat, where they live. You're going to pull any kind of tax or any kind of electronic piece of information, and you're going to build a very complete picture on every person that you're interested in. Now, you're ignoring thousands and thousands of people, but let's say that network, suddenly they call you for some reason, boom, you're in that network, and you are now in that circle of people that are under surveillance, whether it's an email or whether it's a phone call or even a text. And then what you do is you figure out that you have to have hard human data. So somebody says, oh, he's building a bomb. He's going to go to this place and detonate it.
Right.
And then you physically, what they call find, fix, and finish, and then you go physically get eyes on him with a drone, and you kill him. Now, that sounds ridiculous when we're talking about America, but it's not. We have drones in America. We have electronic surveillance. We have the Patriot Act, which allows any government to simply do, watch, steal, seize, listen, whatever they want.
One might say, look, I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't even go through a red light at 3 in the morning when nobody's there. I just, you know what? So what do I have to be worried about? Is that accurate or not?
Okay, well, today you're not doing anything wrong. But let's say we have a problem with tax cheats, or we don't like right-wing political parties, or we think people that belong to this organization are a little fruity and should be watched. And then suddenly you are under surveillance, and then the things you do seem suspicious.
We're going to come back and talk more about that with you, Robert, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Robert Young Pelton as we talk about the NSA. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Robert Young Pelton with us. By the way, Robert's websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. License to Kill, Hired Guns, and The War on Terror. Robert, by the way, what's new with you? What are you working on these days?
I'm pitching film scripts, which is kind of fun, and working on my new book, which is one on special forces, a fiction book called Raven, and updating the world's most dangerous places, which is a 1,000-page book. So I should be about 120 years old when I get there.
I'd love it. Do you ever get to Los Angeles?
Oh, yeah, I was there today.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm in St. Louis, but I'll be back in several weeks. Let's get together the next time you're there.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Okay, so, you know, so we got this NSA thing. That's a big issue. I don't know what's going to happen to Snowden, whether he gets extradited or they arrest him. Who knows what's going on? Apparently today it was reported that the NSA was looking for him 10 days before he released anything. So I guess they knew something was up, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he was just an IT guy, so he wasn't like a spy. Right? He was just managing the systems that manage the computers. But clearly, when people make these life-changing decisions, he's obviously going through some kind of personal catharsis or problem. So I'm sure that they thought he was a little odd or whatever. But the Verizon thing wouldn't bother me. If I was an IT manager for a contractor, I would worry more of the fact that he said he made $200,000 and he only made $120,000 in his new job. That's probably what made him angry. It's a very, very lucrative job to sit there and stare at computer screens.
Oh, my gosh, huge. And he's given all that up. I don't know what he's going to do next. So in terms of the government, would you, if you were in the NSA right now, would you go after him? Would you try to arrest him?
I think you'd have to, under public pressure, you'd have to obviously question him. You'd have to remind him that he signed, just like Mark Bissonnette did when he wrote that book on the killing of Bin Laden, and then you'd hope it would fade away. Because here's what's going to come out of this. He didn't work for the government.
No.
He worked for a private contractor.
Private company.
70% of the entire intelligence industry is contractors. And one of the things that they don't want to talk about is this has got nothing to do with the NSA. This is the fact that these are run by private corporations, which means we are putting all the data and all the control and all the access to this data in a private company, not the government.
And, of course, it was revealed some time ago that the Justice Department has been peeking in on some news organizations. Again, another no-no. They say this never would have happened a long time ago. I suspect Richard Nixon and company did some of this too, Robert. What do you think? Yeah.
But here's the point I want to make is that we keep talking about the government doing bad things. You know, the government, it's against the law for the government to spy on their own citizens, right?
Right.
The Patriot Act allows certain surveillance of people who are suspected of being associated with Al-Qaeda or terrorist organizations. From that came these sort of warrantless requests for information that then went out into the private sector. Now, here's what people have to remember. There's what the government's allowed to do, and there's what private corporations are allowed to do. And, you know, we've all seen the gumshoe movies where the gumshoe goes to the telephone operator and asks for somebody's phone number. This is what's going on, and this is what people should be afraid of. Private corporations have to make a profit. So if they have a technology, they have an asset or a database or an ability to gather millions or billions or trillions of bytes of information, they're going to monetize it. And that's the scary part.
Well, that's right. I mean, are they going to sell this to companies that want to know certain things about individuals?
Well, think about what we talked about. You're willingly giving them all this information. When you sign your subscriber agreement with your cell phone company, with
Google, right,
with Facebook, you are signing away the fact that the government may ask for this stuff, or that it may be given to people for, you know, some kind of information. And then you think, well, that's fine. They won't give my information away. And you've just learned that they do. They give it to the government. But that data sits in a private database. And it means that at some point, somebody might slip somebody $100 and say, hey, if you got so-and-so's phone number or this corporation that we're bidding against or something, then that's the problem. This stuff is not being guarded by the government. It's out there.
So have we gotten too technologically advanced, Robert?
No, we've got too far past our skis. The NSA was a result of World War II, and there was every reason in the world to have a cryptology and a snooping system against the Russians. 9/11 was a long time ago, and the kind of attacks that we're seeing now are very isolated, kind of sporadic, you know, one or two guys doing something with a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
We have to stop frisking every single American citizen in the hopes that some low-level bureaucrat might stumble across a plot, you know, to do something. So just as President Obama tried to tell us that, hey, the wars are over, 9/11, you know, this is not an endless war on terror, I think it's time for us to reboot the Patriot Act.
Would you give up your rights of privacy, if the government would have been able to have nailed the Tsarnaev brothers and stopped that Boston bombing situation?
No, because I know too much about what the government does. I mean, they knew the identities of the 9/11 hijackers months before the 9/11 event occurred.
They sure did.
So they did nothing about that. I mean, I don't have any trust in a huge bureaucracy to keep me safe. I don't even view that as their job. What I don't want them doing is hiring some freelance guy to say, gee, that Pelton, he was in Chechnya, he was in Pakistan, he was in Somalia. That guy must be the biggest terrorist on earth, and not do the actual spade work to figure out who I really am.
Who dropped the ball on that situation?
I think it's just a big machine. This is all based on funding. So you get the Patriot Act passed, you get billions of dollars flowing into contracts with private corporations like SAIC and Booz Allen, and then they start building systems. Palantir, which is the database they use to find networks, was funded by InQtel, which was a CIA investment fund. It then mushroomed into a very profitable business. So it's basically this entire business of snooping on people has exploded.
Well, you know, part of me says, you know what, they screwed up on the Boston bombing situation and they had everything right in front of them. So they're going to try to do all this other NSA stuff. They're going to fall on their face on that as well. Part of me says that.
Well, here's what I'd like to hear from the NSA and from the CIA and all these secret people is tell someone, an elected official, your success rate in apprehending or finding out who's planning the next 9/11.
Precisely.
I bet you it's a very dismal. They take credit for things that were tipped off, and you know, but it's not a very successful program. It's just very sexy to have everything at your fingertips.
So will they continue it or not? I mean, will they go public and say we're going to stop this?
No. What they'll do is they'll tell you, don't worry. You know, we don't listen to your phone calls. Just go about your business. These are not the droids you're looking for. But you know, Obama approved all these warrantless searches up until 2017, so it's not going away. All these contracts are still in force. You know, all these contractors that are data mining are not going to stop doing that because they have commercial applications.
I guess if when he was elected, most people probably would have bet a lot of money that this president would not have approved things like this, but he did. A little more aggressive.
He's got a couple of speeches that you can Google in 2006 and 2007, in which he speaks out very plainly about the surveillance of American citizens. So he was on the right side of the argument back then. He's on the wrong side now.
Yeah, he sure is. Is this going to haunt him? Is this going to come back and bite him?
Of all the things that are biting him? Because this is a liberal president who, as a minority, would be particularly sensitive to the government monitoring the activities. And you remember the old FBI and Hoover and monitoring Martin Luther King? And
absolutely.
I mean, this should echo much louder in his ears than it would in mine. But this is wrong. I mean, monitoring people who are doing nothing wrong just for the sake of monitoring them is slavery. And if you remember, you know, Nazi Germany just asked all the nice Jewish people to write their names down and, oh, can you wear this yellow star? And then, oh, you know, can you get in the train? So these are the tips of slippery slopes. These are not, you know, good ideas.
So tell me the philosophy, Robert, behind this. Why is government so paranoid now?
Because government is typically basically incompetent. So when somebody says, hey, they're robbing the bank, they look at each other and go, oh, which bank? Where? How? Where's the car? Who's got the keys? These type of systems where they have video cameras and sensors and everything allows them to monitor. Like if you go to New York City, you'll see these huge monitoring screens where they look at every street, every single traffic light, and that makes them respond better. Now, that's a great idea when they have a disaster or a problem, but what you'll notice is that they'll use these monitoring systems and they'll tell people to leave. So in other words, the solution is not to fix that initial thing, is to tell people to go away and go find a hotel and live somewhere else. We're not using this technology to actually go in there and preemptively do something or save things. I mean, look at red light cameras, which is a perfect example of Big Brother. You know, red light cameras were supposed to be automated ways to reduce, turning right on a red light or going through red lights. They turned out that they actually ended up doubling all the fines so that they could make money, and it didn't do anything.
Right.
So Big Brother does not work.
And they even shortened the yellow lights so they could get more fines.
and they sent out fake tickets to try to fool you into admitting who you were. I mean, all these Orwellian things do exist once you have these big data solutions.
In St. Louis, a judge just ruled that the red light cameras are fine, that they're legal. Who knows? It's a mess.
Yeah, but they're monetizing crime. And this is where big data is very helpful. Because you can, for example, the computers in your car, all they have to do is say every time you go past 65, boom, mail you a ticket. And okay, you broke the law, but who wants to live in a society where you're plugged in and watched and monitored, and if they want to see if you were actually at work at 5 o'clock or were you talking to your girlfriend or say to your wife, that they can pull up the data and go, bingo, gotcha.
Yeah, absolutely, I think. Next hour, we're going to take some calls with you, Robert, and I'll be very curious to see how our callers react to this. I suspect overwhelmingly they'll be opposed to the NSA. But I'm wondering if there's some people who justify this. Have you talked to any of them?
Yeah, the NSA is a very effective organization when used against large enemies. You know, if there are missile movements or the Russians are deploying something, they have the ability to photograph, track, decrypt the communications they have, and they can, remember the Cuban Missile Crisis?
Yep, 1962.
Those photos bang right on the desk of the president saying, there's the missiles, and here they've moved 10 feet, and, that's what the NSA is supposed to be doing, not spying in, Chicago.
No. And by the way, even though we were told all the Soviet missiles were taken out, I think they left a few behind.
But they probably don't work anymore. But my point is that we are the most technologically advanced nation on Earth, so we should have all these tools at our disposal. They just got too much money and too much time on their hands, so they're busy dealing with us as opposed to them.
Okay, the Europeans are upset. They're just horribly upset over this situation. Has this damaged us in the public's eyes all around the world?
Yes, because this is feudalism. When you are monitored by the person that, rents the land to you, and you have to tell them you're going here and you're going there.
Yeah.
This is what they call geo-slavery. These are people watching you to see what you're doing and where you're going. So that as soon as you get out of line, they say, oh, well, you were here because your cell phone tells you exactly where you were at this time and date and how fast you were driving and who you were talking to. It then makes us feel like we might be in trouble, from a bigger boss. And this is America. This is not, 12th century England.
So when people think that this is the land of the free, are they mistaken?
It's the land of the monthly payment. We have legal rights. But the problem with these terrorism-driven acts, like, Protect America Act, Patriot Act, they were all developed to keep us safe from these people that were sneaking around and doing bad things. Those people don't really exist in the same numbers, and the threat's not the same. So those same people are now using those budgets and that technology on us. And they're thinking that if we find, they're not looking for a needle in a haystack, they're just looking for hay. So as long as they've got all this data, they can model people's patterns. They can say, Asian people tend to call for 3 minutes longer at 5 o'clock in the morning than white people. These are bizarre things that come out of modeling people's behavior using big data.
Robert, did we create the terrorists by occupying their land, by you know, collateral damage, killing their men and children and women, and all these heinous things that we have done over the years?
No, I've spent a lot of time in terrorist training camps with terrorist groups, and I can tell you that they're people with daddy issues. They're usually lost people that are attracted to a nihilistic cause that has no political solution, and they want to go hurt somebody. And they mask all this crap with this sort of, caliphate, we're going to do this. But no, they just want to go kill somebody. And if you go back and look at the personal lives of all the people that are, you know, that were on the 9/11 planes that blow themselves up, there isn't one brave warrior among them. They're doing it the cowardly way.
So they're all losers, basically.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, look at the Sarnoff brothers. He was angry that he couldn't get a spot on the boxing, on the U.S. boxing team. So he got really angry and bitter.
Yeah.
And he convinced his dumb brother to help him, you know, make bombs. That bomb did exactly nothing for anyone. You know, nobody got liberated. No country, you know, threw off the yoke of oppression because he put a couple of pressure cookers in a marathon.
Right. No, it was done by angry people.
Right. It's almost the same as school shootings, except they don't do the, they don't shoot themselves first before they try to kill people.
So what do you think the Senate is going to do with all of this?
Well, they're scared. I mean, the government that we have doesn't even understand what the NSA does. So the people that do know think it's a great idea because technology-wise, it's you got to have that. But in terms of the people saying, what are you guys doing and why do I feel nervous about emailing my grandmother, I think we have to be put in a better state of awareness and we have to say, well, why are you doing that? Show me results. And I don't think they can.
Yeah, that's true. So I guess you need to be careful. Whatever you put in writing on an email, in a text message, you just have to be smart about it, assuming someone's reading it.
Well, but think about your pattern. You know, I get jacked up all the time because I have all these nasty stamps in my passport. So every time they tell the border people, if anybody's been to Pakistan, give them a hard time. Ask them
that's you.
I'm the guy that they ask stupid questions of. So if you were to track my phone calls and my emails and all the friends I know around the world, you would think I'm Osama bin Laden's twin brother because I go there and I talk to those people and I check those websites out, but I'm not a terrorist. You know, I operate openly. When the FBI approached me and wanted to tell me everything I did, I said, yeah, you cheapskates, buy my books. And, you know, I have nothing to hide, but if you modeled me on a pattern, I think you'd think that this guy is really up to something.
It is truly amazing what they do. And, you know, these immigration on both sides, for example, in Canada and in the United States, I mean, they ask some of the strangest questions when all you want to do is get to where you're going.
Well, I'm flagged in the Canadian databases because I went up there to do a documentary. I was being interviewed for a documentary on mercenaries, and the guy said, why are you here? And I say, well, I'm going to be interviewed on a documentary about mercenaries. He said, oh, are you a mercenary? I was like, no. And I said, why would you ask that question? He said, go on the line with all the hookers and the people without the visas. So every time I go to Canada, they ask me where my weapons are. And I went to a funeral with my family driving a motorhome. And the guy said, you better tell us where the weapons are now because we're going to find them.
Unbelievable. That's you're not kidding story. Me, are you?
Oh. That's a true story. So because this one idiot typed in something like, this guy must be a mercenary, every time I go to Canada, I get this lecture.
Unbelievable. I mean, I remember the days growing up in Detroit, Robert, where we would drive across the bridge, right, the Ambassador Bridge, mm-hmm. in from Detroit to Windsor. We didn't have passports. We were kids. My dad was born in Cairo, Egypt. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just showed him his birth certificate, and mom was born near Boston, and no big deal. I mean, across we went, and back we came. And, I mean, life was so simple then, wasn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, one guy drives across the border. Remember the guy that wanted to blow up the Space Needle, and he was an Algerian? And
yeah, yeah.
Ever since then, any band that comes from North Africa, anybody who has North African heritage or looks or whatever, is flagged.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Nobody's trusted anymore. Robert, we're going to talk a little bit more about this and a final hour to go with you where we will take phone calls. So get ready. Plus, sound off. I'd like to know your views on the NSA. Do you agree or not? We'll be back.